Hello and welcome to the OMFIF podcast, a weekly discussion on key trends in investment and economic policy from some of the world's leading commentators. This week's episode is about emerging market debt and the broader central bank policy response to the coronavirus pandemic shock. My name is Pierre Ortlieb. I'm joining from London, and I am speaking to James Blair, who is the Fixed Income Investment Director at Capital Group. Thank you, James, for joining us. I'm going to start with a question about emerging markets in a very broad sense. I mean, as you know, they're quite heterogeneous. The broad sort of sector categorization as such obscures a lot of the subtleties of the sector, and, you know, terms can be very confusing and misleading. So why don't you walk us through kind of what the main investable emerging market debt sectors are that you look at?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, most investors recognize that the emerging market debt or EMD universe is very broad, but they may not be aware of the extent of that diversity. There are broadly two main categories, the hard currency and local currency markets. So in terms of the what's known as the hard currency markets, these are the EM issuers that issue bonds in a major currency, generally US dollar, but often euro as well. And there are about 70 sovereign issuers in that particular space. And then, as I say, there's the local currency sector, which is local bond markets where a bond issuer issues into their own currency, and there's about 20 individual markets in EMD space. So most people are familiar, particularly with the hard currency markets. They're more credit-like. Bonds trade as a credit spread over US treasuries or some other currency counterpart. Mostly sovereign, but they also can be quasi-sovereign or corporate bonds as well. And then there's the local currency bond markets. These are the more traditional bond markets. They're generally more rates-based markets rather than credit markets. So they're driven by things like monetary policy, inflation, and the like. You do have FX considerations, and so things like currency hedging decisions can be important as well. And finally, there are other types of instruments in local bond markets, one particular one being inflation-linked bonds, which can be a valuable investment choice as well. This year has highlighted the breadth and major differences between the different markets and countries. In hard currency bons, there's been a marked return divergence between oil exporting and tourism focused economies and those with more diversified economies. And just as stark has been the return dispersion between investment grade issuers, which have performed pretty well, all things considered, and the lower-rated high-yield issuers, which have generally underperformed and are still trading at elevated credit spreads.
Thanks. That's interesting. So I kind of want to hone in on some of the last points you mentioned, and specifically I'm curious to hear more about the specific variables that you and your team look at when you're kind of assessing the EMD investments. What is it specifically that you're looking at when making these decisions?
Yeah, well, look, given the disparate nature of the EMD universe, it'll come as no surprise that there are a plethora of factors that we take into account and assess when looking at emerging market debt. However, they can generally be summarized as falling into one of three broad categories. They are interlinked: fundamentals, valuations, and technicals. So firstly, fundamentals. What are the key factors driving the issuer and their economy, and how might these variables change? So for a sovereign issuer, you might be looking at things like the external funding issues, you know, current account deficit, FX reserves, the level of external debt, and that maturity profile of that debt. And then there are domestic economic considerations, of course, as well, the growth and inflation outlook and the monetary and fiscal policy pulse, for example. So next up, there's the valuations, and that's really assessing what is currently priced into the sector and the issuer and how this might change over time. So you're looking at factors such as relative valuations, so emerging market debt versus other asset classes, emerging market debt versus the history of the sector itself, and then, you know, the specific issuer that you're analysing, how they're trading versus similarly rated issuers. We also look at pricing along the issuer yield curve to look for potential pricing anomalies. And then finally, there's the technicals, and that covers a broad range of other factors. Some of them might be supply and demand of bonds. Obviously, if there's a large amount of new issuance, that can weigh on an issuer. The market risk appetite, and there's various ways to measure that. And also market microstructure considerations. And some of the recent ones we've obviously all been dealing with are things like the impact of working from home on sell-side trading capacity, the impact of ETFs on liquidity and price discovery, are some good examples. Now, there's not always a clear distinction between these three factors. Indeed, the largest single driver of returns this year has been the actions of the US Federal Reserve. And that's impacted fundamentals, it's underpinned valuations, and it's providing a really strong technical support for credit markets.
So you've kind of touched on something that I want to explore further with that last point about the Fed. As you said, you know, the actions of the Fed have a massive ripple effect throughout the entire global economy and global financial markets. So what I'm kind of curious about is what you make of the Fed's response to the coronavirus shock or the pandemic shock so far. How do you assess that response, the EMD sector? You know, I guess specifically, what are your thoughts on the global dimensions of the Fed's response?
Yeah, really important question. Look, while we're, of course, in the midst of a health and economic crisis, it's really thanks to large and proactive G3 central bank measures, and particularly the Fed, that means we're not actually also dealing with a financial crisis. The response from the US Fed has been huge, but it's also proportional to the risks that are being faced. Obviously, there's been rate cuts and QE, of course, which has been important. But also, there's been specific tailored measures to deal with the functioning of capital markets in treasuries, repos, the CP market, in corporate bonds, and even in certain aspects of the sub-investment grade universe, like supporting the fallen angels. The US Fed's actions have been pivotal in supporting market pricing during this unprecedented time.
Are you concerned about the future relative performance of the dollar with respect to, you know, a sort of selection of emerging markets? One might expect in normal times, and I guess we both realize these are normal times, but one might expect that the massive injections of liquidity and the balance sheet growth would lead to weakness in the dollar. Do you expect to see outperformance by a sort of a number of emerging markets over the next 24 to 36 months, sort of broadly in the medium term, or is that not something you're sort of particularly worried or thinking about?
Well, specifically about the question on a weak US dollar and it's what it means for emerging markets. A weak US dollar generally does have a positive impact on emerging markets, and of course there are several reasons for that. Firstly, most EM countries borrow in US dollars, and so a lower dollar clearly has a positive impact on their external debt load and the funding of interest payments. Secondly, the US dollar tends to soften relative to emerging currencies when we have broad-based global growth. That stronger global growth also supports commodity prices as well, so obviously another benefit to emerging markets. And finally, the intersection of these two factors, a lesser external debt load and broad-based growth, is very supportive for a fall in the risk premium assigned to emerging market debt by global investors, which supports FDI flows and obviously also supports emerging market debt. But the obvious corollary to this is we are likely to need to see the prospect of global economic growth recovering before we'll see a decisive turn in the dollar.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that assessment. You need to see strong and broad-based growth before the kind of liquidity impact of the Fed's measures have any impact on the dollar. You touched on something that we haven't really spoken about yet, but I want to home in on a little bit. You mentioned commodities, and I think investors tend to think of EMD as a sector that's highly leveraged to oil and other commodity prices. What do you make of that characterization? Is that sort of roughly fair, and how does that figure into your calculus on EMD investments?
Yeah, it's true that the emerging market universe as a whole is a net commodity exporter. So it's unsurprising to see emerging market debt under some pressure, given where oil is trading now. However, there are wide divergences between and within regions. The GCC, Sub-Saharan Africa, and Russia are all major energy exporters. Latin America is a net commodity exporter, but relies more on agricultural products and metals rather than energy exports. And then in contrast, Asia is a net importer of commodities, and so it, you know, may be better placed in the current environment. Another factor to consider is the impact of lower oil prices on inflation and growth. So while more of a medium-term consideration, lower oil prices should lead to a downward pressure on inflation in the coming years.
So we've kind of touched on a couple of different inputs into the EMD sector. Let me just ask, I'd quite like to hear a little bit more about kind of the approach to fixed income that you guys have at Capital Group. There's a lot of concern, I think, broadly speaking, that, and this is sort of corroborated by research at the Bank of England that I've come across, that we're kind of in a secular multiple century-long decline in real yields broadly across the globe. And I kind of want to hear how you make sense of that and how it plays into your approach to EMD markets. How do you grapple with this kind of long-term decline in real yields in your investments?
Yeah, you're right. Look, trend global real interest rates have been falling for a very long time. If we were to extrapolate this trend, it would suggest we may face sustained periods of extremely low or negative real rates for some period of time. There is potential implications for this that one needs to consider when you're looking at investing across rate markets. Firstly, the investor reach for yield will continue, and this is going to support high-yielding markets generally. And there's no reason to suspect that emerging markets shouldn't be a beneficiary of this as well. Now, once the current volatility passes, in a lower rate environment, emerging market sovereigns will potentially be able to issue at lower yield levels than in yields gone by. If these borrowed funds are used for investment and other productivity-enhancing means, we could see higher growth from some emerging market economies without commensurate levels of inflation. But of course, there's a flip side to borrowing more. And that can obviously make an emerging market economy more vulnerable to times like we experienced in Q1 2020, when sudden shifts in risk sentiment drive capital outflows. But overall, a lower rate environment is supportive for emerging market countries and for the backdrop for investing into emerging market debt.
Yeah, it sounds like the key there is very much having a sort of credible and authoritative inflation targeting central bank to prevent inflation from sort of spiraling out of control when you do have that greater issuance. Just looking at the short to medium term a little bit more, I'm curious to hear your broad forecast for global rates from here on out. You know, now that we're at the sort of late end stage in the cycle, there's demand for, you know, for safe haven or quality assets, low yielding assets all around. What's your view on where interest rates are headed over the sort of medium term?
Well, there's every reason to believe that we'll continue to have, you know, lower cash rates and lower bond yields for a considerable period. You know, yield curves may steepen over time as markets start to price in the potential for inflation to rise on the back of the expansionary monetary and fiscal policy that we've witnessed. However, yield curve control and forward guidance and the like will undoubtedly mitigate this to an extent. One sector that we do feel has potential to perform reasonably well in this current environment is global developed market investment grade corporate bonds. The spreads of these types of securities are already pricing in a fair amount of recession and downgrade risk. The all-in yields are broadly attractive in an environment of ultra-low government yields. And of course, we have the backstop support of the Fed and other central banks. And the Fed is standing by primary and secondary markets for corporate issuers, and that's profound. It will continue to support spreads, even should we see further bouts of weakness.
Yeah, that's interesting. The focus on the corporate sector is a good one and one that's received a lot of attention recently, I think, with, you know, the debate around central bank support of the sector and fallen angels and themes like that. So just to close, I think it would be good if you could give us a sense of why EMD is an attractive sector right now and why investors should consider an allocation. What's the rationale? What's the appeal? Can you walk us through your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, look, firstly, I would posit that there are merits for many institutional investors having at least some allocation to EMD through the cycle. One can, you know, move the weight up and down more tactically based on factors like risk appetite, valuations, and economic growth projections. But there are a number of reasons why you'd want to invest over the long term in emerging market debt. One important one, I guess, is as economies mature, a long-term investor can participate as the credit ratings improve and as this emerging market country's economy transitions to a more developed market-like economic structure. We've seen that occur in parts of Asia and Eastern Europe. So in this scenario, credit spreads on the hard currency bonds of an issuer will tend to narrow and their currencies have the scope to appreciate. And then as to sort of why now to invest in the sector? Well, credit spreads on US dollar emerging market bonds remains elevated, fairly obvious reason. Spreads are currently trading close to 600 basis points above the US risk-free curve, and they were below 300 basis points at the end of last year. That 600 basis point or so premium actually hides two very different subsectors, interestingly. Investment grade emerging market debt in US dollars is trading in the mid to high 300 basis points, whereas the high yield subcomponent is trading over 1,000. So there's quite a disparity when you look under the hood. And they're now trading sort of 1.5% to 2% wider than their ratings equivalent US dollar corporate counterparts. Regardless of your desired approach and allocation to the sector, it is important to diversify, of course, by credit ratings, region, market size, and economic drivers. Obviously, oil importers, as well as having oil exporting countries in your portfolio, for example. So an active, research-driven approach to the sector is key.
Yeah, thanks. I liked the kind of more long-term points that you made there. I think that's really interesting and a convincing case, I think, for allocation to EM. So I think that's a good note to end on. And I'd like to thank you, James, for coming on and talking to us about emerging market debt. There was very, very insightful points there. I look forward to speaking again soon and watching the uncertain global market situation unfold. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, James, for joining us for this very insightful and fascinating discussion on emerging market debt as a sector, the Fed's policy response to the coronavirus shock, and other issues around fixed income allocation. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thanks again for joining.
A quick message on behalf of Capital Group to say that this communication is of a general nature and not intended to provide investment advice or to be a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Statements attributed to an individual represent the opinions of that individual and may not necessarily reflect the view of Capital Group or its affiliates.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Please do subscribe to our channel and look out for more podcasts.